Okay, there we go. All right, good morning, everybody. My name is Frank Elgar, and I'm an assistant professor of psychology, of all things, at Carleton University in Ottawa. And I'm one of the co-authors on this paper on body weight dissatisfaction and communication with parents among adolescents in 24 countries, international cross-sectional survey. This just rolls off the tongue. I have to say first that this is my colleague Halima Al-Sabah is a PhD student. She just successfully defended her PhD in Belgium, and this is her paper, and I'm very happy to be standing in here. She wasn't able to make it to this conference. So I'm very happy to give this presentation on her behalf. Her colleagues on this paper, besides myself, include investigators on a rather large international study called the HBSC, the Health Behaviors of School-Age Children, and I'll be showing some international data from this survey. So just as a quick background here, body dissatisfaction, or dissatisfaction in the way you look, is very common in adolescents. About a half or two-thirds of adolescents will report they would like to look different than they do if they could. And I suppose this is one of several risk factors that could contribute to disordered patterns of eating or just subclinical patterns in unhealthy dieting practices and so on. So it's a very common thing, even though it's a risk factor for a very rare condition. We also know that body size preferences and dissatisfaction with body shape, body appearance, vary significantly by ethnicity, by body mass, of course. It's more common among heavier kids. Gender tends to be more common among girls and boys, among adolescents than in pre-adolescence. And as well, it may vary also according to family connectiveness. And you saw some evidence that was linking a conflict in the home to the problem with obesity. Maybe it has this is one area where it might be contributing and have a knock-on effect to the way kids are eating. So parents influence adolescents' health behaviors and attitudes towards fitness levels, diet, attitudes about healthy eating, and getting physical activity. And there is some research, even though it's quite mixed at the moment, that that mothers may be more influential in this area than fathers, and particularly for girls, that mother-to-daughter connection seems to be stronger. And as well, a negative relationship with parents might be related to body dissatisfaction, but only among some countries and regions. Again, it could be as a function of ethnic background or some cultural difference. So the aim of Halima's PhD thesis was to have a close look at some of these differences between among countries, to examine the relationship, this link between communication with parents and adolescents' own dissatisfaction with their body weight, indicated by either dieting or perceived need to diet and lose weight, in this international survey that involved 24 countries or regions across Europe, Canada, and the US. As I mentioned, this is one of many, many studies that come out of this World Health Organization multi-international, multi-collaborative study called the Health Behaviors of School-Aged Children. This is a survey, for those of you who are unfamiliar with it. It started with just a handful of European countries in the early and mid-80s. Canada came into this survey in 89. I think the United States came in around the same... 98. Okay, just recently. I'm showing you data from the 2001-2002 survey. It was the latest... I think that involved maybe 32, 33 countries. In the last go-round in 2005-2006, there were 42 countries, and the next cycle coming up 2009-2010 is going to involve 44 countries. So it's quickly expanding and becoming a very useful resource to look at international differences, connections between social context and effects on child health. The general goal of the HPSC study is to identify youth health indicators and the factors that influence them. So it's looking at social context and health outcomes and health behaviors. And it's done using school-based questionnaires. The children are actually sampled through school clusters, so it's a clustered sample of 11, 13, and 15-year-olds. It's roughly grade 8, grade 9, grade 11. And they're surveyed in classroom settings using standardized questionnaires, much insofar as that's possible with 40-some countries and many, many languages to translate into. This is how the study looked in 2001, 2002, and as I said, this list has expanded now by 8 or 9 countries. It's mostly Western European nations and in North America. So Halima here, she looked at the data from all of these countries, and the first thing she did was excluded those countries or regions that had more than 20% of missing values for body mass index. And that's how she got the number of countries or regions down to 24. As I mentioned, there were more previously. Here are the variables. And again, it's because this is a very large and international survey set, oftentimes the compromise you make is how in-depth you can go into these constructs. So unfortunately, there's a pretty cursory look at each of these, each of the key constructs in this study. Body weight dissatisfaction or desire to lose weight. This data is coming from an item that, a questionnaire item that reads, at present, are you on a diet or doing something else to lose weight? And here we basically make a dichotomous distinction between those who are satisfied and dissatisfied. And similarly, with in terms of quality of communication with their parents, separate questions here for referring to the mother and the father. How easy is it for you to talk to your mother or father about things that really bother you? And here again, we make a dichotomous distinction. So I know, as you know, as a psychologist, as a social scientist, you'd like to see a more nuanced look at these constructs using looking at these variables on a continuum, but here we're using them as a grouping variable. And also, the body mass index, which was an important control variable for us, was calculated using self-reported height and weight. As I'll get into self-report, these self-report data are fraught with issues, but fortunately, it's not the focus of this particular study. The analyses here were very straightforward, very simple logistic regression analyses that essentially tested the association between communication with the mother or the father and body weight dissatisfaction, and estimated that link in terms of an odds ratio, adjusting for the quality of communication with the other parent, for the student age, for body mass index, and also school cluster. So these are HLM models that control for school clustering effect. Now, essentially we found a connection. Body weight dissatisfaction was indeed more common among females and in males, as we expected, and more common among the older adolescents. Difficulty in talking to the father was more common than difficulty in talking to mothers. And thirdly, difficulty in talking with the father was greater, tended to be greater among females than in males. It was more common, I should say, than in the girls. This is essentially just looking at the percentage of these groups across the countries, and you can see here that body weight dissatisfaction tends to be more common among girls compared to boys, and more common among the 13 and 15-year-olds in comparison to the 11-year-olds. It's essentially what we expected, and it's pretty consistent there across all the countries in this study. Among the boys, difficulty in talking to the father was associated with weight dissatisfaction in most countries, but not all. However, interestingly, difficulty in talking to the mother was rarely associated with body weight dissatisfaction among males. And again, to remind you, we expected a tighter relationship in that mother to daughter relationship than in the boys. And these are just pretty motley-looking graphs of those odds ratios across the countries, and you see a significant relationship here, significantly higher odds of body weight dissatisfaction, linked to difficulty communicating with the mother more so than with the father more so than with the mother. So again, there's an important international difference here to account for. Among the girls, Difficulty in talking with the mother and to the father was associated with body dissatisfaction. Generally, the relationship was more commonly found in females than in males. You can see here on the left, you can see a pretty consistent, the significance, I guess, of that odds ratio is tends to be more consistent when referring to the mother than with the father. So it seems that it's more common in girls than in boys, and seems to be more tied to communicating with the mother than to the father. I think that's the general take-home message here. Now, there are several limitations that come up, not just with this study, but many of the studies that come out of the HPSC survey, and I'll just name highlight a few of them. First, of course, is that there's an exclusive reliance on a single informant and self-report data from adolescents. And self-reports from children oftentimes it would be nice to corroborate, have other informants, other sources of data, whether it's from a parent or a teacher and so on. And unfortunately, we did not have those resources here in this study. As well as a cross-sectional design, we can only theorize about a causal link between these two. All we know is that body weight dissatisfaction, particularly among older girls, tends to be more common among those girls that are unhappy with how they look. And third, body mass index, which was an important control variable in the analysis, was based on self-reported height and weight. And those of you who do research using the body mass index know that there are self-report biases towards underreporting weight, overreporting height, that are compounded in that BMI formula, and oftentimes the self-report data and measure data have very little in common. So just to sum up, difficulty in talking with the mother was associated with body weight dissatisfaction among females, but not so among males. Difficulty in talking to the father was associated with body weight dissatisfaction for both males and females. And as to conclude, I guess this suggests an important role of parent-to-adolescent communication in adolescents' physical and emotional development and in the prevention of body weight dissatisfaction. So maybe one of the, in terms of taking a developmental approach to disordered patterns of eating, unhealthy attitudes about physical towards how you look, if you look early on, the transition from pre-adolescence to adolescence in girls might be a unique, an important place to be looking. And if you're interested in the HPSC, you're going to hear another talk now in just a moment, using data from the HPSC. You can find our international reports and some of the national reports at hpsc.org. And that's all I got. Thank you. Any questions at all? Yes.
Were you able to look at the associations in families where there's just like one parent, one father, one mother, or no father, no mother?
That's a great question. Yes, we did have a look at that. We couldn't find a consistent link, and part of the problem is you have dozens of research teams taking their own approach to how they describe family and family makeup. We weren't able to do an international study on that, but there are some national level, a country level studies looking at the link between family composition, single parent, two parent households. And generally there's a bit more stress, a bit more dissatisfaction, and a few more poor health behaviors among those kids living in single parent households. But unfortunately, I don't have data to show that that's consistent across dozens of countries. Good question, though. Yes?
From your data, I'm not sure to, this is perhaps interpretation, but are you saying that when a girl has difficulty communicating to both parents at the same time, that there's more body weight dissatisfaction, or that girls say in general if they can't talk to their father or their mother, then they have that issue. But I'm just thinking about the linked issue.
Right.
The analysis that looked at when she reports both difficulty at the same time, talk to both parents.
Unfortunately, I can't answer that because it's Halima's PhD thesis, but we did control for communication with the other parent and looking at each parent separately. But it's a good question whether you, if you can't speak to either parent, are you at increased risk than you would with either of them? That's a good question. Unfortunately, I don't have the answer to that. By and large, though, it seems to be an issue that comes up more for girls and boys, for older kids and younger kids, and mothers to daughters. That relationship seems to stand out in these data. Okay, thanks very much.